It's always good to see this space so full of people, believers. It's a real joy. As we suggested this morning in our reading, the world doesn't think much of us. But do you know that the household of faith is the highest social order in all the universe? You are a member, we are members of the highest society in the universe. Members of the family of God. You can't get higher than that. Now, it is not likely that we will be invited to the White House for breakfast, lunch, brunch, or supper. But we had a nice time this morning in the house of the Lord, at the table of the Lord, with the Lord himself being the host. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but these thoughts thrill me. Sometimes we concern ourselves with those folks in Hollywood and their standards of beauty. They don't begin to come back with our standards of beauty. As we read this morning, we're going to be pretty. We're going to look like the Lord. You know any higher standard? And we're going to be with him for all eternity. But that's not our subject. That's just my feeling. Now, you remember that we studied together that God gave judges to rule over Israel, and they became unhappy and wanted to have a king like the nations around. Oh, beloved, never wish to be like the people around. No matter how good they look and no matter how much they seem to have, don't wish to be like them. And the children of Israel wanted to be like the nations around. And God gave them a king. King Solomon, he reigned 40 years. Pardon me, King Saul. And after Saul, David, and he reigned 40 years. And after David, King Solomon, and he reigned 40 years. And after that, the kingdom was divided, Israel and Judah. There were 19 kings in Israel and 19 kings in Judah. Of the 19 kings in Israel, not one was a godly person. Of the 19 kings and one queen in Judah, there were 7 godly kings. And it is these godly kings that we want to begin to look at today. We're not going to take them in order. The first one we want to study is Jehoshaphat. And we will look at 2 portions of Scripture, please. 1 Kings chapter 22. Verse 41. And as we look at these 7 godly kings, they weren't perfect. They made mistakes. And we want to learn from their mistakes. For we as God's people make mistakes also. And we read in Romans that the things were written aforetime were written for our knowledge, our insight, that we might know the will of God and not make the same errors that they made. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 41. Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the 4th year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shealhi. He walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, his might that he showed, how he warred, are they not written in the chronicles of the kings of Israel? And we're going to turn to those chronicles, chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 17. Verse 1, Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. He placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, set garrisons in the land of Judah, and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Baalim, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor. Beloved, if you want success in this world, honor God. Jehoshaphat honored God, and he was honored by the people. And may I say to those of you in school, do you want success? Honor God, you'll be amazed what will happen. I think of several students who honored God. In fact, I told you about some of them recently. There's one young lady in California. She has a very high position with the government in health. She went to school in New York City, at a hospital where I was then in training. And she came, she was in the assembly, came to me several times saying, this is too hard. They bother me, they tease me, they tell me you don't do this, you don't do the other, you think you're better than everybody else. I'm quitting. I said, don't quit. Tough it out, and we'll pray for you. Graduation time came. My wife and I went to the graduation. Now, this is fact. And this did not happen in what you call the olden days. See? This happened in modern days. 14 prizes were given out, and this dear sister received 13. Do you think God can do that today? Do you think He does it today? And if you want to do well in your schooling, I could tell you some more. You remember in the book of Daniel, chapter 1? This is not in my notes. I didn't plan to say this. I'm deviating. It just occurs to me, we have so many students here going to school. Keep God first, and you will have success. Daniel, chapter 1. And the same God that helped Daniel and helped this sister that I have just told you about, and I'm thinking of two more young ladies in the school of nursing. And they had a hard time. They were teased because they stood up for God, and again graduation day came, and what one, when they gave out the prizes, what the first one didn't get, the second one got, and between the two of them, they got all the prizes. Now, this is fact. And as I said, it did not happen in the olden days. It happened in these modern days. You honor God, He will honor you. As I mentioned last Sunday at my granddaughter's graduation, the theme was, you can do it. I think they were a little upset with me, because when I was asked to say a few words, I said, you can't do it without God. Well, you can't. Any success you think you have without God, you'll find that it's not success. But let's read the book of Daniel. Chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Children, please note, in whom was no blemish, well favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And that's what they're trying to do today, beloved. Don't be caught up in it. They're trying to teach you the language of evolution. And it's spread through all the various branches of learning. That's why you find your doctors today, some are so callous and disinterested. Because we came from apes. And there is no God, so what difference does it make whether you live or die? The same. Ecclesiastes, the wise man said, there's nothing new under the sun. Do you know that? There's nothing new under the sun. The same thing that Nebuchadnezzar did is the same thing they're doing today in our schools. Read on. Verse 5, the king appointed them a daily portion of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. He nourished them 3 years. Most of our schools, our colleges are 4 years, right? We nourish them 4 years, and then we examine them, see if they have learned anything. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. Oh, don't be a Christian. Be modern. Little silly Christians, you don't want to be one of them. Take on a modern name. And they have some. Now I'm amazed at some of the names that they give themselves. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. He gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But, I've said it often, I like the buts in the Bible. But, do this, young folks. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, would not contaminate himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Don't defile yourself. Many years ago, relative of mine was telling me how he was working for the Lord. He was at college level and he was seeking to lead these college students to the Lord, and he would say to them, let's go into the beer garden and have a beer and talk about salvation over the beer. The two don't go together. Don't defile yourself. Nothing will happen. Everybody's doing it. Nonsense. Everybody's not doing it. Story is told of a young lady, senior at high school, ready to graduate. And you young ladies know what they have. They call it a prom, you know. That's where you dress up and look nice and get one of the fellows to take you out. Walking along the campus was this Christian girl. And this other girls said, "Are you going to the prom?" This Christian girl answered, "No, I am not going to the prom." This other girl said, "Everybody is going to the prom." The Christian girl answered, "I'm somebody and I'm not going." Stand up for Jesus. Stand firm for Jesus. That's what Daniel did. Verse 9, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, 'I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. Why should he see your faces worse looking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head.'" You know what these teachers, half these teachers are afraid of? Losing their job. That's their trouble. That's why they teach all this nonsense that they teach. I'll tell you, I've told you this before, I'm going to tell it to you again. One of my dearest relatives, she died last year. It was a Wednesday, I remember it well. She called me at the office and she said, "I think I'm in trouble." I said, what happened?" "I just took the biology exam." I said, what's so hard about biology?" She said, "It isn't a test." I put down on the test paper at the end, "I have answered all the above questions according to the theory of evolution. But, I want you to know I do not believe in the theory of evolution." Submitted the paper. Called me back the next Wednesday with joy in their voice. "How did you make out?" "I got an A in the course." "What did the teacher say about your note?" "Neither do I." They know better. But in order to keep their job, they have to teach all this nonsense. But let's read on. Verse 11, "Then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Test thy servants, I beseech thee, these 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with us.' So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat." You honor God, he'll honor you. You'll even look better. It's right here. "Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse." No wine. Terrible, isn't it? I told you more than once how they used to laugh at me. You go to these medical meetings. "Here comes God. He only drinks water. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with what?" I noticed on the radio and TV now they're advising people to drink more water. Make sure that the water is pure. Didn't say drink more wine. In fact, they're advising many people to cut back on your wine. We read on. Verse 17. Oh, I like this. "As for these 4 children, and remember that there were many, many taken away to be trained by Nebuchadnezzar. As for these 4 that stood for God, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning." You having trouble studying mathematics? Don't have a bend for mathematics? Ask God, he'll give you skill. Where do you think mathematics came from anyway? Came from God. You're his child, and if you have trouble understanding it, ask him. He'll explain it to you. And he'll explain all the other subjects to you. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Oral examination. Nebuchadnezzar himself was going to examine them. Oral examination, not written. Written, you have time to sit down and think. I remember one examination. This was in qualitative analysis. Chemistry, they probably call it something else today. And I figured out from my answers how much I was going to get, what grade I would get. And I sat there and asked the Lord to help me to remember. When I finished, I got a good grade. God does that today. Verse 19. The king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. In all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the rest. You say that was years ago. I say God does it today. And there are among his people students in school and working at other levels, and God works through them. We had an example recently. Attorney General Ascot. Why didn't they want him? Yes. That's all. That's all they had against him. He finally got in. And I believe if he keeps before the Lord as he has thus far, we're going to see something. God honors those who honor him. Come back, please, to 2 Chronicles. We're reading about Jehoshaphat. I got away from the subject a little bit. Or maybe a good bit. Or maybe a great bit. Verse 6. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Young people, honor God. Let your heart be lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Not in the ways of the people around you, in the ways of the Lord. He took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Do you know what the high places and the groves are? Those were the idols that the people around worshiped. He took them away. Don't have any idols in your life. Let there be no idols in your life. No one or no thing that comes before God. Verse 7. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hiel, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nathanael, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. I like that, to teach. We need to learn. God's people need to learn. And when you're in school, learn. But to teach them in the way of the Lord. Even while you're in school, learn the way of the Lord. Now, I don't like to boast. But God has been so good to me. You know what I did in the third year of medical school? We had 13 subjects. That's funny, isn't it? And I said to myself before the Lord, I will not open the book on one of them until I open first the Word of God and get something from it. If it takes me an hour or two. want to tell you, God honors that. Put God first. Put His Word first. Verse 8. With them He sent Levites, even Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemaroth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram priests. And they taught in Judah. Oh, no matter how busy you are, no matter how much homework they give you, study the Word of God. Somebody asked a certain servant of the Lord, how do you find time to study the Word of God? He said, I don't find time, I take time. That's the way you do it. You take time to eat, don't you? I like what Job said. I find His Word more than my necessary food. That was the trouble with, not trouble, asset. Who's that fellow there in Germany? The great electrical man. What's the name of that great electrical? Oh, I forget his name. And everybody here knows his name. Nobody can tell me. He's as bad as I am. What's his name? Edison. Sure. Thomas Edison. What's that? Yes. His wife would call him for dinner. Al. She used to call him by his middle name. Dinner time. Come and eat. All right, dear. I'll be there. Another 3 hours, he still got in right there. Occupied with his work. And we should be so occupied with the Word of the Lord. Brother George has been telling me how he's been thrilled by the Word. It'll do that for you. I've told you before, and I tell you again about my good friend who died about 2 years ago, my good friend Lloyd. We were friends before I went to kindergarten. He worked at R.H. Mason, a big store in New York, you know. He worked in the furniture department. And one day he went down to lunch. And after lunch, he went into the, oh, what do you call that place where you keep your clothing? Thank you. He went to the locker room. Sat down and was reading. And I know exactly the testament he was reading from. It was the Scofield New Testament and Psalms. I don't think you can get it today. And as he was reading, he said, wow! He didn't know anybody was in the locker room. Brother came over and said, something wrong? Can I help you? He said, no. I'm all right. I just saw something in the Bible. Have you ever seen anything in the Bible that made you say, wow? If you haven't, you're missing something. Oh, it's so precious. In the middle of the night, in the middle of the day, you read something and you just feel like jumping and hitting the ceiling. That's what the Word of the Lord will do for you. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms. Of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. You want to have peace? Of course, the Lord said in the Word, you're going to have testing. But would you like a little less testing and a little more peace? Get with the Word of God. You'll be amazed what effect it will have on the people around as you study the Word of God and live it. Some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents. Can you imagine that? These are the folks that were fighting David all his 40 years. And this man sold, they brought him presents. And they'll bring you presents too. As you live on the job, at school, at play, whatever it is, as you live for the Lord. Verse 12, Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of good. He had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Judah. We are in a warfare, beloved. It is a spiritual warfare. And as we get in Corinthians, our arms are not guns and bullets. You know what our chief armor, piece of armor is? The thing that we use it of is this. It's our chief piece of armor. Read about the armor in Ephesians chapter 6. And you read there about the helmet of salvation. Keep it on. Especially those of you in school. Keep on that helmet of salvation. What did Jonah say? Salvation is of the Lord. There is no way out except through the Lord. Keep that on your head. I've told you this before. Oh, let me see. I was in high school then. A fellow about my age, get out on the street corners of New York, hold a Bible in one hand and an American flag in the other, and preach. He was there all alone. And more than once I went to him and said, I surely admire you. And you come out here by yourself before all these people and you preach. He thanked me. I went away to school for a year. Came back, saw this man at the street corner, say, I said to myself, let me go over and hear what he has to say. This time, he didn't have a Bible in his hand, he had a bunch of papers. And in the other hand, not an American flag, but a red, blue, and green flag. Let's all go back to Africa. He took the helmet off, and those wicked men instilled in his head a false gospel, another gospel. Keep the helmet on. The answer to the world's problems is one only, Jesus Christ the Lord. He's the answer. I like to listen to the news. My favorite station comes on at 7 o'clock every evening, Channel 26. Jim Lehrer. Anybody? No, nobody? Nobody listens to you? Well, sure. Well, you become informed. And if you listen long enough, you become deformed. What amazes me is to get all of these authorities on there and none of the authorities agree. God, you never hear his name. He's not part of their thing. The Word of God is what we use in our warfare against others. My little friend John has been keeping time on me. One time he told me I went over 13 minutes and some seconds. I'm a little over now, so I'm going to stop. But let's go on to chapter 18. As I said, with all of these good kings of Judah, they all made certain mistakes. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. That next clause. And joined affinity with Ahab, the most wicked king in Israel. Watch your company. Watch your company. Watch whom you join affinity with.
Watch your comfort. I'm pausing like this because I want to know where I can stop at a good place. But your company determines much. Now, that does not mean you shouldn't talk to the ungodly. It doesn't mean that. If you never talk to them, how will they ever get saved? But you don't mingle with them and become a part of them. I'm thinking now of a young fellow in New York. Bright young fellow. College degree. But too smart. I had the privilege of baptizing him. His father died a few years ago. An elder in the meeting. The last time I was in New York, I asked his mother for him, and with tears in her eyes, she said he's not doing a thing. Married an unsaved woman who already had two children, plus two children which he sired. And you know what? He refuses to work. That's the level to which he is called. Watch your company. It has been said, but if you lie down with a dog, you will rise with his fleas. If you go into a flour mill, you will come out with the dust on it. We need to watch our company. Now, that does not mean that we shouldn't talk to people. You talk to them, but you don't become intimate people. How many of you like to watch hospital displays and shows on TV? Nobody here? Love, you're not telling the truth. You know you like to see them operate. Don't like blood, but I like to see them operate. Now, when they operate, you'll notice that the surgeon wears gloves. If you never noticed before, notice the next time you look. Why does the surgeon wear gloves? He wants contact without contamination. And that is what we have to be careful of in our mingling with others. Contact, yes, but not contamination. I have a friend. Well, this was about 20 years ago. Heart surgeon. And you know, in the course of operating, using those needles, you will often puncture your glove. And who do you think is the first one to notice that you have a puncture? The nurse. Not that you have a puncture, you better change your glove. He had a puncture and he changed his glove. But as a result of that puncture, and contamination with the blood of the patient, he was sick. Six weeks. We want contact with the ungodly, but we don't want contamination, mingling, and intimacy with the ungodly. He joined affinity with Ahab. So I'm going to stop. Brother George, am I scheduled to speak this Wednesday? Kwame. We'll continue in the word of the Lord. But beloved, honor God, He will honor you. Contact, but not contamination. And by the way, not isolation either. We have to have contact. Anytime you go to New York City, I recommend one thing. Take the boat ride around Manhattan. As you go up the river there, you'll see a place. The Carmelite, something they called it, I don't remember. It's for the winners. once you go in there, you never come out until you're dead. That's isolation. That doesn't do the rest of the world any good. The men go to a monastery way up on the mountain and stay in the mountain there all their lives, repeating verses and going through a lot of various things. No, God has not called us to isolation, but He has called us to association with people around. I'm going to stop. I could go on, you know. But I'm Holy Father, we bow in Thy blessed presence. We give Thee thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ, and we give Thee thanks for the salvation into which He has brought us. Fellowship with the Heavenly Father, members of the household of God, we give Thee thanks. We thank Thee for Thy precious word, available to us to read, to study, to learn, and thereby to grow. Now in all those things that we have been studying, even from the Gospel of John, we thank Thee for the help given to our brother. And more recently from the life of Jehoshaphat, may we profit from these things and not make the same errors that they made. Dismiss us now with Thy blessing, we pray.